I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Thank you to everybody who reached out and sent in questions after last week's episode. I told you how I was just beyond capacity with midterms, family life, all the things. I was just beyond what I was able to give. And so I thank you guys for your patience. I've always maintain that this will be a space. I see this space as a space of service, not a job, not something I show up to do for money, for clout, or for anything, but I show up and serve in this space because this is something that the Lord has entrusted me with, and I take it very seriously. And a part of taking this seriously is knowing when I just don't have it to give and honoring that. And so thank you again for your patience. I'm done with midterms. Praise the Lord. I have maybe like 2 weeks to breathe and then it's time to start preparing for finals. I'm still fatigued from midterms and everything. And so I actually decided to take like a mental health day tomorrow. So I'm not going to class. We get a certain amount of classes that we can miss. So I am taking the day off and I'm just going to relax and sleep and go for a walk, talk to the Lord, and then take another nap. That is the plan. But before I get into full checked out mode, I wanted to make sure I came here and answered your questions. I got some really, really good questions in my inbox when I sent that email. And I also, based off of your questions, have some guests that I want to have back on the show to discuss a few things because their lives have evolved since they were on the show the first time. And a lot of them, I believe the Lord has done great things in specific areas that I've gotten questions in. So I'm really excited about these powerhouses that I'm going to have on here in their upcoming episodes. All right, let's hop into some questions. If you want to still submit a question to be answered on the show, you can always email it to me, Tatum@TatumTamia.com. I will put my link in the show notes or my email in the show notes as well, because the next two episodes, I'll be going through these questions. And then we have some exciting things to come after that. So the first question says, hey, Tatum, I'm in my 30s. And as I look around, I see others getting married, having more kids and successful careers. And I'm very, very happy for them. I love to see everyone living in their dreams and prayers. Then it's me. I've been praying and praying and nothing seems to happen for me. Yes, I know all things will happen in God's time, but it's like, why do some girls get, I don't want to say lucky because I know it's a blessing and I don't get anything. A lot of women my age is going through this on top of the dating scene being trash. Any advice for us? Thank you. So when I first read this, a scripture came to mind, Philippians 4:11-13. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, and actually, let's go up to verse 10 just to read the whole thing. And this is Paul speaking. He says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I read this text because I feel like we hear the last part often. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we don't emphasize the earlier parts about contentment. the reason why Paul said that he can do all things through Christ was to let us know why he is content no matter what is happening. He's letting us know that his joy and his satisfaction is not dependent upon external circumstances, but it's anchored in the truth. And that truth keeps him grounded despite what may be happening or what may not be happening around him. And I read that because, first, I hear you. I have plenty of friends around me who are in this same space, either in their 30s or who are getting ready to be 30. And they're like, look, I thought that I would be somewhere else by now. I want the marriage, the children, this healthy family. I want the career. I want the businesses. And I've been serving the Lord, but I feel like I'm in this limbo season, this middle, this very uncomfortable middle. And I feel as if the world is passing me by because people are getting engaged. They're getting pregnant. They're having these babies. They're launching these careers, getting these promotions. And here I am, faithful, but feeling forgotten. And so I hear you. And I want to provide a sobering perspective, because when we're in these middle spaces of waiting for what we're believing in God for to manifest in our life, this is like peak season for the enemy to exploit our vulnerabilities. And it's a great opportunity for him to get our focus and our attention off of what the Lord is doing and focusing on solely where we're still waiting for him to perform. Because you're even using language here of like, nothing's happening for me. I get nothing. Things of that nature. Like these type of words, we have to be careful. Remember, we've talked about in through the us reading Joyce Meyer's book and all of that, how we have to take these thoughts captive. The enemy loves to plant these seeds. And then because we're in this digital era, we have these algorithms that are also, in my opinion, a lot of times working with the enemy, to where now our algorithms are set up to all we're seeing. We already are feeling this void that we are longing for a family or children and, you know, the husband and career. So we already have this void. Then we have the enemy planting these lies in our head of the Lord has forgotten about you. Everybody else is getting married and succeeding in XYZ and you're not. And then we have this algorithm that's only showing us engagements, marriage, pregnancy announcements, all of these things. And so we have to be very careful about the areas in which we are vulnerable and protect them at all costs. In my opinion, this is how we move with wisdom while we're in a waiting season. So my number one piece of advice to you will be to focus on finding contentment. Seek the Lord on how to get to the place that Paul was at when he wrote these words. Because this is something that's going to carry you through every season of your life. Contentment is something that we really need to take hold of, because we live in a society where it's all about more, more, next, next, growth, growth, as opposed to just being content, as opposed to just slowing down, as opposed to just accepting our manna, our daily bread, and not trying to store some up for tomorrow. I was talking to a friend about this episode, and she reminded me how in the Word that the Lord gave them fresh manna. He gave them their daily bread every single day. They couldn't save it. They couldn't store it. They had to wake up every day and wait for the Lord to give them their next portion. And so we have to learn how to not worry about tomorrow, as the Bible says, because today has enough trouble of its own. There is a pace. There is a contentment and a peace that the Lord wants us to have and that we're supposed to live with as Christians. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to get restless in some seasons. That doesn't mean that, you know, our excitement about what's next is wrong. It doesn't mean our ambition is wrong or anything like that. Your desire to be married, to have a successful career, to have children, all of this is beautiful. And I believe that the Lord wants that for you, but the Lord doesn't want you to want that more than you want Him. And that is a place that you have to get to where you're just content with the Lord. And I will focus on that while you wait for whenever the Lord's time it is. And you learning how to be content and having that groundedness that Paul did is going to carry you through every season. It's going to be necessary for every season. And there's practical things that are useful here. Like you said, the dating scene is trash. Listen, I've heard stories. Okay, I have a good amount of single friends. I hear stories about what this dating scene is looking like out here. I hear you. But you have to trust that the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You don't have to go out looking for anybody. You can just focus on what the Lord has blessed you with and called you to tend to right now. And in due time, your husband will find you. And I'm not just saying that because it's cliche. I remember when I was in my 20s, I wasn't really in a space just yet to where I was fully fatigued with my singleness. I was tired of like the empty dating games and all the foolishness that came with that. I was just over that, but not necessarily ready or looking to get married anytime soon. My prayer was just like, okay, God, just let me know when I meet my husband and I'll just take him seriously. But until then, I guess I could deal with this roster, but I'm kind of over it at the same time. So that's just where I was at. And I was just focused on me growing a business and living my life, having fun, just focused on growing my relationship with the Lord, not really tripping off of anything beyond that. And then here goes one random day, I meet my husband at work. This company I had been with for like a year at that point while trying to transition into my own thing full time. Here comes this new guy that I met in the office kitchen while I'm trying to get something to drink. And here we are 7 years later, 3 kids later, happy, healthy, in a marriage. And that was the Lord divinely orchestrating that for my husband to find me. And I believe that the Lord will work it out as well for your husband to find you. I'm not saying don't date. What I am saying is don't feel like you have to find your husband, because that's not how this works. And don't feel like you have to do anything beyond focusing on God, being content with where he has you at right now, and being open to whatever he may ask you to do next. And trust that in due season, when the time is right, he, the Lord, will make it happen. And when it does happen, you'll be ready. And the last piece of advice that I want to give is put safeguards in place to protect yourself in this area of vulnerability. Because like I said before, the enemy loves to exploit this middle ground to make us feel like the Lord doesn't see us, that he's not here, that everybody else is XYZ and we're not this or that. Like the enemy loves to speak loudly during this season. So I would also tell you to safeguard and protect this vulnerability. Unfollow anybody that may trigger these feelings that take you out of a place of contentment. Anybody, unfollow them. I know for me, when I was believing in God for children and I was in a space where I was very frustrated because I just kept getting pregnant and losing a baby. Pregnant, losing a baby was this emotional roller coaster of trying to conceive, positive pregnancy test, lost, trying to conceive. Like it was just, I can't even describe it. It just felt torturous, to be quite honest. And it would bother me where here come the holidays. And everybody's getting ready to start announcing some pregnancies. We're going to see the cute little family holiday photos with the hands on the bellies. And here I am waiting for the Lord to do it for me. Angry that it seemed like other people were able to conceive and carry to term easily. And here I was struggling. And the enemy would exploit my vulnerabilities to make me doubt God, to make me feel bad about myself, running through every mistake I ever made in my life and feeling like the Lord was punishing me for these things that I did. Like the enemy tried it, but I had to put my safeguards in place. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times, and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You guys have heard me talking about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide and 98% saying that they recommend it to friends and family. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormone balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings and help you feel satisfied longer, support healthy, sustainable weight management, and boost energy and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so that you can feel like yourself again. Y'all know I have a lot going on. And sometimes that includes digestive issues and brain fog. So I'm really excited to try this prebiotic collagen protein. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code BLESSED for 15% off today. I remember, I think I shared this on the show before, how I had specific prayers about fertility. So whenever I would get in this space where my emotions were high, I would just say the prayer. I pre-wrote the prayers so that I didn't have to think about what to say while my emotions were high, and I would just read it and read it and read it. I would get offline so I didn't see anything that was happening and what people were posting. I had to put safeguards up while I waited for the Lord in His timing to do what He promised. And so I would say the same thing for you, is to recognize that this is a vulnerable area. Recognize that the enemy wants to capitalize on this vulnerable area to pull you away from the Lord and to rob you of the contentment that you should have. And I want you to focus on establishing that contentment and asking the Lord for it. Say, God, help me be settled the way that Paul was when he wrote this. What is robbing me of just being content no matter what's going on, because I can do all things through you who strengthen me? Why is that not enough for me? Show me me so we could heal and work through whatever is trying to pull me away from you and keep me from seeing the ways in which you are moving. Have this type of conversation with the Lord in this season and watch what He does. And like I said, in His timing, these other things will come into play as well. And what He does through you in this season will make you that much more ready for them. I hope that helps. So the next question says, how do I set boundaries with my life of being a mom and trying to become a business owner? It's just me, but that ain't never stopped no one, Yahweh called, just having a hard time defining the two. Is there scripture that you could point me towards or some advice that helped you? Last question. I'm starting fresh, no education, audience, or knowledge on how to run it. I got faith in a plan. How do I market my business in a way that doesn't get me caught up in the worldly regime and doesn't allow me to lose sight of my true intentions? So the first piece of advice I want to give you is to create boundaries with yourself. I'm not sure if you were talking about creating boundaries within like outside people or anything like that, but as a mother who is getting ready to start or starting a business, the biggest boundary that you have to create is yourself, is within yourself, because you even talked about you're having trouble defining the two. And I think that's the first mistake of trying to separate the assignments. All of this falls under the umbrella of who the Lord has called you to be. Motherhood is a part of it. Entrepreneurship is a part of it. Whatever else the Lord has called you to is a part of it. These are things that you have to separate and look at individually, because then I feel like that's how you come into a balance issue. And remember, on this podcast, we don't believe in balance. We believe in harmony. We're not juggling our responsibilities trying to find this balance. No, we are operating from a place of harmony that comes from an internal settledness and connectedness to the Lord. So that's the biggest thing. I suggest that you establish the boundary within yourself and what that means for how you show up in the various things that the Lord has called you to. I know for me in this season, as y'all know, I'm in law school, the Lord has called me to that space. My boundary within myself is that I'm also a wife. I am a mother. I'm an entrepreneur. I have little kids. So they require a lot of time. And I am not going to pursue any ambition at the expense of my family. That is a hard boundary for me. Because I know also that that's not how the Lord wants me to carry out his assignments. He doesn't want me to carry out my school assignment or my business assignment at the expense of my assignment as a mother or as a wife, and vice versa. And so for me, the hard boundary I have within myself is that I have to operate always from a place of connectedness to the Lord. He has to always be the vine and I remain a branch. If anytime there's a disconnect that happens, I need to immediately repent and reattach myself. That's a hard boundary one for me. My second hard boundary is that my priorities must always be in order, not in just what I say, but in how I operate. My children shouldn't feel slighted by my business or by my schooling. When I come home from school, I hop straight into breastfeeding my daughter. If I didn't cook dinner before, I cook dinner when I get home. I talk to my kids about their day. I give them plenty of hugs and kisses. I'm skipping school in about 2 weeks to take my son on his first field trip with his school. And I'll figure out what I might have missed in class later. But my son comes first. My son and I are both off on Monday from school. So we're going to spend some one-on-one time together. When I'm home, I try to sneak in time. My husband and I, every Friday, we have our little moment where we open up a new bottle of wine that we've discovered, watch a show, talk, hang out. Like, that's the time that we connect with each other. Homework can wait. So for me, my boundary within myself, the second one, is that my priorities must always be in order. And then my third boundary is that I have to do whatever the Lord has called me to well, in a way that honors him, in a way that honors the sacrifices that everybody else makes for me to pursue the things that the Lord has called me to. My husband and I were talking this week and he was like, you know, what's keeping you going right now with all of the stuff that's happening with school and all of that? And I was like, there are too many people who are making sacrifices for me to grow. You're making sacrifices when it comes to things in the house, for me to be able to be out the house all day, every day at school. our kids are making sacrifices where there's some things I may not be able to do, even though I try to minimize the impact as much as possible. But still, we are all invested in this. My mother, my family is invested in this. When I have to study, they'll come help me with the kids or pick my son up from school and all these different things so that I'm able to do this new assignment. And so I have to see it through and I have to do it well. I owe the Lord that, and I owe the people in my life that. So those are the boundaries that I have within myself. And so I will tell you the same thing. Because so many times we try to look at how do I create boundaries with others. Let's not worry about others. Let's worry about what we can control, which is ourselves. And establish what your boundaries with yourself are going to be. And I would suggest that they look similar to what I just named. Protecting that space of you abiding in the Lord. Really having that boundary in your motherhood journey. Your child shouldn't feel slighted by your ambition. And then also protect this vision that the Lord is giving you and have the boundary for you to see it through, to do it efficiently and to do it well. Speaking of business, let me switch gears for a second, put my strategist hat on and answer that second question. Here's a mistake so many people make. Whenever I talk to entrepreneurs, we always have to go back and redo this very mistake. You have a business idea and you go straight to how do I market it? Well, let's pause for a second. Let's take a step back and let's make sure that we have an idea that is validated and marketable first. I mean, people will come and I'll talk to folks that I'm posting and stuff online and I'm not getting the sales. How do I better market my business? Well, first of all, that's just a tactic, not a strategy. So we got to reel it back in to start from the beginning. We on like step 15. Let's go back to step one to make sure that this should be step 15, you know? So let's talk about the business part first. You said you have faith and you have a plan. I will be curious to know what is that plan. Is it a business plan? If it's not, I would suggest that you start there. Grab a business plan template off of SBA.gov, Small Business Association Government Agency. Grab a business plan off of SBA.gov. Take that plan that you have maybe in your prayer journal, in your mind, in your heart, maybe the vision that you see, and put it into a business plan. Because what's going to happen is it's going to make you establish and define a vision, a mission, the team that you're going to need, the money that you're going to need to start this business. It makes you look at the market, look at competitors, pricing, strategy. So many different things are covered in this one document, and it forces you to look at the different areas of your business so that you could take this plan that you have and make it something that can be a working document that you're building from. So that would be my first step, is if this plan that you say is not a business plan, go there. And then after you establish the plan, then I want you to go validate your idea. I don't have details of what your business is, so I'm just going to give general examples. If it is a product, or let's say if it's a service, do a beta test of that service first to make sure that what you're offering actually is effective, or if you need to make some tweaks. If it's a product, put together a sample of this product and test it out to see if your target audience wants this, or if they want it in the way in which you have planned to give it to them. Because sometimes we have these plans for these businesses, or I'm going to do XYZ, but we're just creating something that we want or we think is a good idea. But businesses solve problems. The reason why a lot of businesses fail is because they don't solve real problems. And so I would challenge you to do that business plan and then make sure that you validate that idea to make sure that this is something that is going to be received well. And by received well, I mean that's going to make sales and have the impact that you want it to make as well. And that this is going to be the starting point to a business that you can grow and you can make successful. So I don't have enough details about your business to really go into a full spiel, but that's somewhere that I believe that you should start. And as you're doing that, how you market it, because marketing is a part of the business plan as well. As you go through the business plan, you'll have a better idea of how you should market your business and sell whatever your product or service is. So the next question, we actually met recently, so she reminded me of where we met. And she says, since then, I quit my 9-to-5 and I'm in the process of starting my business from the ground up, starting with YouTube. I learned from your podcast that you did a similar thing, leaving your 9-to-5 to pursue full-time entrepreneurship. How did you stay focused and steadfast to the vision God gave you, despite naysayers or those who may have doubted you during your process of building? How did you respond after, once the vision was birthed? I hope this makes sense. I'm experiencing a lot of good luck, in quotations, with a doubtful face to tag along. Thank you for sharing your story and your family with us. Be blessed. Man, this is a great question. And when I read this, it forced me to go back to, man, it's been, what, 8 years since I left my 9-to-5? And I feel you, because this was definitely the space that I was in back then. I remember when I decided to leave my 9-to-5 and I was talking to like the partners and everybody, letting them know that I would be leaving and I wanted to start my own business. And I remember that one of the partners looked at me confused with this same face that you, this doubtful face that you described, and was like, well, don't you think that you're too young for that? And I would tell even family and friends, and they would be like, oh, okay. Like nobody was sold. Nobody like shot down my dream totally, but it was definitely a lot of doubtful faces, as you said. And to be honest, it hurt more than anything to get those reactions. My responses to them in those moments were very much like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to show you, please. I'm about to be successful. You ain't going to be able to da 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 da. Like my neck got the rolling, chest got poked out, talking my little stuff. But underneath all of that pride and ego was me being fearful and hurt and feeling alone in starting this entrepreneurial venture, to be quite honest. But to answer your question about, or your first question about how I stayed focused and steadfast, despite the naysayers, is I put my head down and I got to work and I didn't talk to people about it. I had folks that I trusted. At that time, my husband and I were dating. So he was my boyfriend and he was never a naysayer, always very much so like, this is what you want to do. Okay, let's do it. I remember he gave me his credit card. I was like, if you ever need anything, just use it. And that was tough for me to accept. I know now it's customary for the girls to, you know, spend these men's monies. But for me, I was very much so independent and wasn't too excited about it, but appreciated it. And so he was a safe space where I would always talk about how I really felt or what was going on. But outside of him, I had a couple of friends who I met through entrepreneurship, where my business coach, Raven, she's not a business coach anymore, but she's become a good friend now. And I met some great friends through her coaching program. And those were the people that I talked to about what was going on in business. So between BJ and my community I was building of entrepreneurs, those were the people that I was vulnerable with about that season. Outside of that, and they weren't naysayers because all of us were in the same spot. The entrepreneurs were. We were all taking this leap of faith and figuring it out. So we were all really able to support each other. And then with BJ, he just wanted to see me succeed. And so he's always just been encouraging in that aspect. And so everybody else, though, who were the naysayers, who did have those perplexed faces on, I just kept them in the dark. And I protected this vulnerability that I had of starting this business. And so I suggest that you do the same. You're entering into a journey that's going to have so many twists, turns, highs, lows. Even when you quote unquote make it, whatever that means for you, it's still going to come with its own stuff. And so the best thing that you can do now, lock in. Drown out the noise and lock in. Let in who could be trusted and keep everybody else out. And your second question about how did I respond after the vision was birthed to people? I didn't. Continue to stay focused, stay locked in, and you do the work. Entrepreneurship is exhilarating. It is difficult. It is exciting. It is frustrating. It is all of these things at the exact same time. And adding doing it for the Lord on top of that, it adds another layer of responsibility, and it adds a process that those who are not trying to do business God's way don't have to deal with. And so the last thing that you need is to now be also considering the opinions of anybody else. No. Stay focused on the Lord. Keep your head down with what he has called you to, and you just build brick by brick, piece by piece. That's it. The next question says, I'm not a mother yet, and I would like to be one soon. What advice would you give to a woman of God who is an entrepreneur, married, and wanting to start a family? How should she best prepare? Girl, I have so many things to say about this. Let's start with the marriage first. Here is how I believe you and your husband should prepare to expand your family. Create like a bucket list. Do like a relationship bucket list. Everywhere from places you want to travel, restaurants you want to try, new things you want to do together, new places you might want to have sex. Y'all married, right? Let's add some sexy things in there. Whatever you can think of, put it in this bucket list. You can write it down on little tabs and put it in a mason jar or something like that. And then you and your husband just work through everything that's in that bucket. Maybe you can do 52 and put it in there and do it, pick out one once a week. Maybe it's 365 and you pick out one a day, depending on how feasible it is. If there's some like low-key things you can do at home, or, you know, things that don't require too much effort. But whatever strategy or frequency works for you, do that. But I would suggest doing something like that, because this is going to be the last time for a very long time that it is just going to be you two. Until y'all become empty nesters and them kids is grown and out the house, this is the last time for a very long time where it's just going to be you two and you can enjoy each other. When I think about my husband and I's life before we started having kids, it was so easy and free flowing to where like we was really on vibes. We would just be chilling in the house. I remember we used to live in Virginia close to a movie theater and like some restaurants and stuff. And we'd be like, let's just go see a movie. This movie's out. And we would just get up, put some clothes on and go to the movie. We don't worry about no babysitter. We didn't have to worry about anything. Our money was our money. Like, it was great. We could just do whatever. It was easy to just maneuver with the two of us. Kids make it a bit more difficult logistically, financially, etc. And so I think looking back, we took a lot of that for granted, to where it was almost frustrating sometimes after having kids. Like, well, what's going on? Like, it didn't seem like we were distant before. Yeah, because we could just, all we did was be together. There was nobody else to worry about but each other. And so you have to be a lot more coordinated and purposeful once the kids come into play. But I would say really enjoy each other as much as possible right now. Something else I think would be healthy to do to prepare is preparing for a time where there is this little interruption. Where, you know, maybe it's once a week, you and your husband have like this scheduled time, or where this is where we just connect. This is our date night. This is even our time to just talk and check in with each other. Just schedule wise, something that is purposeful and intentional for you guys to connect with you two. not connecting to talk about anything work related, family related, but just you two asking about how each other feel, etc. Doing that now may feel a little redundant because it is just you two and you spend a lot of time together, but building that muscle memory to where we know every Friday night or every Sunday afternoon we do this, you can, I feel like, easier or more easily protect that space once the children do come. I would also say if you don't already have a therapist, this could be a really good time to get a therapist individually and maybe even together. And a reason why I say that is having children, so to speak from the woman's perspective, when you have your first child, I feel like it's this huge adjustment of like this new identity now as a mother. You try to reconcile that with who you were before you became a mom. You have these hormonal shifts happening after the baby is born. You know, depending on how your birth experience goes, you may have some things to work through as it relates to that. There's just so much transition that happens once you have a child. I think that it is helpful for you to have a therapist. I think it's also helpful for the man to have a therapist as well. My husband will always talk about how there weren't any like spaces and resources for dads. Like he's navigating also becoming a dad for the first time and supporting me as his wife and what I have going on with actually having to birth this child. But then he's also transitioning and just and adjusting as well. And so, and men, you know, men, they talk about sports. And so a lot of times they're not having super deep conversations or aren't as forward with being vulnerable as we may be as women. And so I think your husband having a therapist will be helpful as well. So he has a safe space to work through any feelings that may come up for him. I know with men, they start thinking about money, the future, how they're going to provide for their family. Having a baby is another mouth to feed, and it brings in that extra layer of responsibility that hit men hard in that financial area, and them wanting to feel like they can provide for their family. So I would really suggest he gets one, and then also a therapist that you guys could go to together. Because like I said, adding children into the mix, you have to make sure you're prioritizing your marriage. It's very easy to get so focused on the baby that you're not focused solely on each other the way that you should. And so by you having individual therapists, that's like self-care for you. I think that you should also have that therapist to just make sure that you guys are having the skills to communicate and to be able to make this transition as a unit. So I wish somebody would have told me that. My husband and I have gone to counseling after every kid, except for this one. I think at this point, it's the third. We kind of understand how this go. But the first two, we really had to go back to say, okay, we need assistance with navigating this transition in a healthy way and in a way to where we're prioritizing each other, even as we are growing our family and all of the extra responsibilities and things that come along with that. So that would be my biggest advice, because I do feel like people underestimate how tough that adjustment may be for some. It's a transition. Going into being parents is a transition, and it's one that you have as an individual, he has as an individual, and a transition that you go through as a unit. And so having that extra help is such an underrated aspect of prepping for a baby. As for you as an individual, something I did before having my first son, before he was born, I created like this little list in my phone. I called it like a happy list, where I just brain dumped everything that brought me joy and that made me happy. Just made a list in my phone, because I knew that once the hormones, the sleepless nights, and all of that came into play, physically recovering from birth. I had all C-section, so I was physically recovering from surgery every time as well. I needed something that I didn't have to think about. That was a spot that I kind of came to often, where it's like, I need something to pour into me, but I don't have the capacity to figure out what that is. And so pre-writing down all of the things that make you happy and that you enjoy, once you get to the space where you need to fill your cup, you can just go and reference it. And so for me, I mean, that ranged from going to the spa to going for a drive with the windows down and the sunroof open. That ranged from going to get some ice cream to just taking a walk in the woods somewhere like with a lot of nature, to going and sitting by the water, to taking a trip. Like, it, the spectrum of what was on there was vast, but that was helpful because I was able to choose something that was feasible for what I was able to do at any given time. If I had some extra cash, one thing on that list that I always took advantage of was I would go to Target and just walk around, get my little Starbucks, walk around, smell some candles, get some stuff I don't need. Like, it was something that I enjoyed. If I was trying to be a bit more budget friendly, then I would go sit by the water, take my journal and just listen to the water, hear the birds chirping. So the list is whatever it means for you, whatever brings you joy. I would say write that down, have it handy, so that when you are pouring into yourself, which you have to prioritize, you know exactly where to go and you don't have to figure it out. Because a lot of times when we got to think too much, when your brain is already full, we're less likely to actually do it. And then lastly, preparing your business to start a family. Child, I could do a whole workshop on this. The first thing is to really take inventory on your business. I want you to look at the financials. I want you to look at operations. I want you to look at everything. Where are you making the most money? Where are you spending the most money? Where are you spending the most time? What, like, any, everything with your business, look through it. If your business is in a space where your active revenue is greater than your passive revenue, that needs to switch. And I would suggest switching that before the baby comes into play. Because you want to have your business in a position to where you can focus on your physical, mental recovery from birth, focus on your transition and your family's transition to having a child without sacrificing this business that you've built before you became a mother. I believe that that's like a trap that a lot of us fall into, to where sometimes we'll just neglect one for the other. But if you dive head first into motherhood and neglect the business, you'll regret it at some point. And I could be wrong if that's not the case for some people. But for those of us who are ambitious and a part of us loves entrepreneurship and building these businesses, if we gave that up, it would be like a piece of us is missing. I know that's how I feel. So when it comes to your business, though, make sure your business is in a position to where you have more passive revenue streams than active revenue streams. Anything that can be automated in your business versus active, now I'm talking about time, automate. Automate as much as possible. Create as many workflows as possible. Whatever systems you use, I don't know what your business is, as much as you can automate it, focus on that, because you want to keep it running without you having to be in a driver's seat, and you want to keep that money coming in without you always having to exchange time for money. The last thing I want you to focus on in your business as you prepare for this baby is to eliminate any unnecessary costs. Go through your balance sheet. Whatever you don't have to spend money on, don't. Have your business operate in a very lean way. The last thing that you want to be worried about when you are tending to that beautiful baby is expenses, bills, overhead, etc. Any unnecessary spending, any way that you can trim the fat in your business, do it. You want your business to be as lean as possible. This is giving me an idea of a service that I will probably offer at some point. Not now, because I don't have the room. But at some point, I definitely would want to offer this as a service because there's so many places we can go that I don't even have time to cover here on this show. But I could surmise it by saying that you want your business to be as lean as possible because that's going to give you freedom, freedom of your time, freedom of your money, and freedom to spend your time focusing on your family. And it's also going to allow your cash flow to increase in your business so that when you do go back to investing or doing new things in your business, now you have cash flow to go ahead and invest in. And now because so much of your business is automated, you have more data to help you make wiser business decisions as far as what you're going to invest in next or what direction you're going to go in once you're off maternity leave or going back into operating in the business full time. So that's a huge tip for the business. Make it as lean as possible. I pray that that helps. I think this is a good place to stop. We have more questions to get to, so we'll definitely do another part to this before the week is out. Thank you guys so much again for submitting your questions. If you still want to send one in, go ahead and email me, Tatum@TatumTamia.com. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.